Bonsoir.
Good evening.
Vraiment content d'être là devant vous ce soir.
Very happy to be in front of you tonight.
Vous avez les salutations de mon épouse et de ma fille qui sont à Paris.
You have the greetings for my wife and my daughter in Paris.
Ma fille passe des examens en ce moment.
My daughter is going through school examinations, so pray for her.
Et puis évidemment salutations de l'église de Paris, on a quelques personnes de l'église ici.
And greetings from the church in Paris and we have a few of church members here tonight.
Donc merci pour le privilège d'être là, Pasteur Chaleur, de
Thank
pouvoir
you, Pastor,
partager.
For the privilege of preaching tonight.
On va prier.
Let's pray.
Père céleste, merci pour tout ce que nous avons reçu déjà.
Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for everything we have received so far.
Et je te demande s'il te plaît de nous donner un esprit de concentration.
We pray that you would give us a spirit of concentration.
Parce que sans toi, Seigneur, on ne peut pas appréhender les choses qui sont invisibles.
Because without you, we are unable to understand the invisible things.
On prie ça en ton nom.
We pray your name.
Amen.
Amen.
Donc, comme vous le savez, le thème de cette conférence, c'est la joie.
As you know, the theme of this conference is joy.
Mais souvent, on a besoin de définitions pour comprendre certaines choses.
And many times we need more definition to understand things.
Souvent, on mélange la joie et le bonheur, par exemple.
And sometimes we confuse happiness and joy.
Ou alors, on confond la joie et l'exaltation.
Or we could even, you know, confuse joy and exaltation.
Ou la joie et les sensations, le sensationnel.
Or maybe joy and sensations.
Mais d'un point de vue biblique,
But on the biblical viewpoint,
la joie est moins liée aux émotions que au temps.
Joy is not as much tied to the emotions as it is to time.
C'est-à-dire que la joie que nous propose le Seigneur, c'est une joie stable.
The joy that the Lord is offering us is a stable joy.
Qui est profonde en nous.
A deep joy in us.
Et qui s'appuie sur la parole de Dieu qui elle aussi est stable.
A joy that leans on the word that itself is stable.
En revanche, tout ce qui concerne le bonheur, l'exaltation, les émotions.
So everything related to happiness, exaltations, emotions.
Sont liés souvent au présent uniquement.
Are oftentimes tied to the moment, the present moment.
Et surtout dans une société comme la nôtre où on est bombardé de cette manière-là pour vivre des moments perpétuels.
Especially in a society like ours where we are bombarded with informations that to live in the moment.
On va aller voir un film parce que voilà, on va être exalté dans nos émotions.
So we go to see a movie because we want to be exalted, you know, like have exaltations in our emotions.
Mais ça va pas nous procurer la joie dans le temps.
But in the long run or in time this will not give us joy per se.
Et puis avec internet ça s'est amplifié ce phénomène.
So with internet now it has been amplified.
J'ai lu dernièrement des recherches qui ont été faites par Google.
I was reading recently research that has been just made by Google as a company.
Pour savoir quel était le temps maximum de concentration pour que les gens puissent capter l'idée ou la publicité.
So the research was marketing research, just wondering how many people, what's the attention span of people when you want to catch their attention.
Et ce temps était de 9 secondes.
It's a 9-second attention span.
C'est-à-dire qu'au-delà de 9 secondes, les gens ne sont déjà moins concentrés.
So beyond 9 seconds, people lose their concentration.
En fait, c'est une seconde de plus qu'un poisson rouge.
One second more than a goldfish.
Et honnêtement, en tant que pasteur, parfois,
And honestly, as a pastor, many times,
je prie, c'est un sujet de prière,
and I pray, it is a subject of prayer,
pour que les gens aient la capacité de lire la Bible.
I pray that people have capacity to read the Bible.
D'être concentré sur un chapitre, deux chapitres, trois chapitres.
Stay focused during one, two and three chapters.
Parce que il fut une époque où les gens ne savaient pas lire.
There was a time when people did not know how to read.
Aujourd'hui, les gens savent lire.
Now people know how to read.
Mais ne savent pas être concentrés.
But they don't know how to concentrate.
Je me rappelle de Pasteur Stevens, ses enseignements sur la concentration et les pensées.
I remember when Pastor Stevens used to teach on concentrations and thinking.
Parce que tout commence dans les pensées.
Because everything starts in our thoughts.
Surtout en tant que chrétien.
In particular as a Christian.
Ce sont nos pensées qui sont changées.
Our thoughts are being changed.
Notre intelligence est renouvelée.
Our intelligence is being renewed.
Et ce que nous pouvons vivre par le Saint-Esprit et la parole de Dieu,
And what we can live through the Holy Spirit and the Word of God
peut parfois être différent de ce que nous vivons dans le présent.
Might be different than what we experience in the present.
C'est pour ça que Paul et Silas pouvaient chanter en prison.
This is why Paul and Silas were able to sing in prison.
Juste pour vous montrer que une information qui vient d'en haut peut nous procurer de la joie.
I'd like to show you how something coming from above can give us joy.
On s'est tous convertis un jour ou l'autre.
So we all got saved at some point in our lives.
Le jour où nous sommes convertis,
the day we got saved,
notre vie a eu un impact.
Our life had an impact.
Un impact auprès des anges.
An impact towards the angels.
Un impact dans le ciel.
We see that, like an impact in heaven.
C'est-à-dire qu'il y a eu de la joie dans le ciel.
There was joy in heaven.
À chaque fois que l'un d'entre nous s'est converti.
Each time one of us got saved.
Est-ce que ça ne réjouit pas notre cœur?
Isn't that a rejoicing for our hearts?
Peu importe les situations que nous pouvons vivre.
Whatever the situations we are living, we're going through.
Est-ce que ça ne donne pas une valeur à notre vie?
Doesn't that give us value to our life?
Ce monde peut-être nous donne pas une bonne valeur.
Maybe this world does not give us value.
Mais les anges voient la valeur de notre vie.
But the angels see the value of our lives.
Les anges ont vu le prix qui a été payé.
The angels have seen the price that has been paid.
Le Père se réjouit.
The Father is rejoicing.
Et donc nous avons besoin de garder ces pensées captives à l'obéissance de la vérité.
And we need to have those thoughts captive under the authority of Christ.
Vous savez, Saint Augustin a écrit quelque chose de très intéressant.
Saint Augustine wrote something very interesting.
Je vais le lire d'abord en français.
I'll read it in French.
Et puis après en anglais, on va l'expliquer.
And then we'll read it in English, and then we'll explain it.
Saint Augustin a dit, il y a trois temps. Le présent du passé, le présent du présent, et le présent du futur. Déjà, tu peux dire ça.
Yeah. So there are three times: presence of things past, the present of things present, and the present of things future.
Qu'est-ce qu'il voulait dire par là?
What does he mean by that?
C'est qu'en réalité, on ne vit pas dans le passé.
He said, in reality, we do not live in the past.
On est toujours dans le présent.
We always are in the present.
Par contre, on pense au passé.
But we can think about the past.
On pense aux choses bonnes que nous avons pu faire.
We can think about the good things that we have done in the past.
Les moments heureux que nous avons pu vivre.
The happy moments that we lived.
Peut-être les déceptions qu'on a pu traverser.
Maybe also some difficulties that we went through.
Les mauvaises décisions.
The bad decisions that we made.
Ce qui fait que si on regarde notre passé,
so when we look at our past,
il y a des choses qui sont bonnes, mauvaises.
There are good and bad things.
Et qui peuvent avoir un impact sur mon présent.
But those things can impact my present.
C'est le présent du passé.
This is the present of the past.
Par exemple, quelqu'un qui vit dans la culpabilité.
Somebody who lives in guilt.
Parfois, c'est lié à ce qui s'est passé dans le passé.
Will be tied to what he went through in the past.
Parce qu'il n'arrive pas à se pardonner, par
Because
exemple.
Maybe he cannot forgive himself.
Ou la relation que j'avais avec quelqu'un dans le présent est mauvaise.
Or the relationship that I have today with someone is bad.
À cause du présent du passé.
Because of the present of the past.
Et donc moi, dans le présent.
So me in my present,
j'ai besoin d'une solution pour mon passé.
I need a solution for my past.
Et donc je peux évaluer mon passé puis me donner des notes.
So I can evaluate my past and grade my past.
Et puis m'évaluer.
And evaluate my
comparer,
past myself, compare myself.
Et puis au bout d'un moment,
and after a while,
je me cache derrière un buisson.
I hide behind a bush.
Alors que Dieu, lui, il a une pensée qui est en haut qui peut me donner de la joie.
But God has a thought from above that can give me joy.
Et cette pensée,
and that thought,
c'est de savoir que tout mon passé a été couvert par le sang de Christ.
It is to know that my past has been covered by the blood of Christ.
Et lorsque je regarde à mon passé,
and when I look at my past,
par la foi,
by faith,
je peux voir ce passé entièrement purifié.
I can look at my past and see it completely purified by Christ.
Je peux même apprendre plus facilement de mon passé.
And maybe I can even learn from my past.
Parce qu'il ne me culpabilise plus.
Because my past does not bring me guilt anymore.
Un peu comme, vous savez, le peuple juif quand ils ont traversé la mer Rouge.
Just like the people of Israel when they went through the Red Sea.
Lorsqu'ils se sont retournés, la mer est revenue.
When they looked back, when they saw the water went back to its normal place.
C'était fini.
And that was over.
Et ce fait que leur présent maintenant était changé.
And their presence was changed.
Grâce à ce qui s'était passé.
Because of what happened in the past.
Et ce qui fait que plus nous sommes enseignés dans la doctrine,
so the more we are taught in doctrine,
plus nous sommes concentrés dans nos pensées,
more we are focused in our thinking,
plus elles sont renouvelées,
more our thoughts are renewed.
Et le passé dans mon présent change.
So the experience of my past in my present is actually changing.
Et je peux être délivré de mon passé.
And I can be delivered from my past.
Parce que les pensées, elles sont toujours dans le présent.
Because my thoughts are always experienced in my present.
Ce sont mes pensées que j'ai besoin de changer.
These are my thoughts and these are the ones that needs to be changed.
Mais pour ça, il faut ce que j'appelle faire un exercice spirituel.
But we have to exercise ourselves spiritually.
C'est-à-dire, dès que l'on voit qu'il y a quelque chose qui nous heurte par rapport au passé, qui nous culpabilise.
If I see something that brings guilt from my past.
C'est de se repentir dans nos pensées en disant le sang de Christ est plus puissant que ça.
And I repent in my thinking and just confess that the blood of Christ is more powerful than this.
Parce que Saint Augustin a dit le présent du passé, ça s'appelle la mémoire.
And he said the present of the past is what we call memory.
Et combien la mémoire nous ronge parfois.
And how much memory can eat us from the inside.
Alors que Jésus-Christ par son sang a effacé de sa mémoire
But
tout
Jesus,
ce qu'on a pu faire.
And God himself erased his own memory because of his blood.
Et puis une autre chose qui peut perturber notre présent.
Another thing that can trouble our present.
C'est le futur.
Is the future.
D'abord parce qu'on peut avoir la crainte de ce qui va se passer, on le connaît pas.
Because I don't know the future, so I might be fearful of what he can bring.
On peut essayer de prendre des décisions, mais on peut pas le contrôler totalement, et ça nous fait peur.
I can try to make decisions, but I'm not sure of the outcome. I'm afraid of that.
Et puis, selon la vie naturelle, on peut se dire, je vais dépérir de plus en plus, je vais être malade, la mort m'attend.
And on the natural side of life, then I can see, well, I'm going to get worse and worse. I'm going to get older, and one day I will die.
Ou je peux être sur le champ missionnaire et craindre pour mes finances pour l'année prochaine parce que j'ai pas le soutien espéré.
Or maybe I am on the mission field and I'm afraid of the future because I don't have enough finances to stay.
Ou je peux penser que Dieu peut plus m'utiliser à cause d'un passé qui n'est pas géré par le sang de Christ.
Or maybe I can even think that in the future God will not be able to use me because of my past.
Et donc, là aussi, j'ai besoin d'être renouvelé dans mes pensées concernant le futur.
And I need to be renewed in my thinking about my future as well.
Par exemple, j'ai besoin de savoir que les pensées de Dieu à mon égard en Jérémie sont des pensées de paix et non de malheur.
I can remember, I need to remember in Jeremiah 29 that his thoughts towards me are thoughts of peace.
En Hébreux 6, 19, l'auteur nous dit que nous avons une espérance comme une encre à l'âme au-delà du voile.
We have in Hebrews 6, 19, a hope that is like an anchor behind the veil.
Parce que Saint Augustin, comme il a très bien écrit, il a dit le passé, le présent du futur, ça s'appelle l'espérance.
And he said that, Augustine said the present of the future is hope.
Et lorsqu'il n'y a plus d'espérance, le présent est horrible à vivre.
When you don't have hope, then your present is horrible to live.
Parce qu'on ne croit plus dans le futur.
Because you don't believe in the future.
On ne croit pas qu'on va être pardonné par quelqu'un.
We don't believe that there is
qu'une restauration est possible.
That the restorations could
que
be
Dieu
possible,
peut encore nous utiliser.
That God can still use us.
Qu'il peut racheter les années que les sauterelles ont dévorées.
He can redeem those years.
Et donc, il n'y a plus d'espérance.
There is no more hope.
Et donc, mon présent est sali.
And my presence, it becomes filthy.
Mais c'est pas la pensée de Dieu.
But this is not the way God thinks.
Est-ce que Jésus-Christ nous prépare pas une place dans la maison du Père?
Don't we know that Christ is preparing a house, a room for us in the house of the Father?
Est-ce que lorsque nous verrons Jésus-Christ, nous ne serons pas comme lui?
Don't we know that when we will see him, we will be like him?
Et donc, lorsque ma pensée est renouvelée,
so when my thought is renewed,
peut-être que dans mon corps, je vis le désespoir.
Maybe I may in my body experience despair.
La douleur physique
pain,
peut-être.
Physical pain,
mais dans mon esprit,
but in my spirit,
il reste la joie.
I still have joy.
La joie de ce qui m'attend.
The joy of what is coming.
Et donc en permanence, ça nous demande de marcher par la foi dans cette doctrine.
So we have to walk in by faith in
Vous savez, quand il est parlé de l'encre qui pénètre au-delà du voile en Hébreux 6.
So in Hebrews 6, when the anchor is beyond the veil.
En fait, il utilise une image là qui était utilisée par les marins à l'époque.
He uses an image that were actually understood by sailors at the time.
Parce que quand on était dans un bateau et qu'on approchait d'un port,
when the ship was coming closer to a port,
et qu'il y avait une tempête par exemple,
and if there was a storm,
le bateau risquait de heurter un rocher sous la mer.
So there was, if the boat in the storm would go too close to the coast, it might hit a rock.
Il pouvait ne pas réussir à se diriger vers le port à cause de la tempête.
Never be able to reach the harbor.
Et donc ce qu'il faisait, c'est qu'il mettait une chaloupe, enfin un petit bateau à l'eau.
So what they would do is take the smaller boats in on the water.
Qui était attaché à une corde avec le bateau.
And small boat was attached to the ship with a cord.
Et il mettait l'ancre du bateau dans ce petit,
and
cette
would,
chaloupe.
They would take the anchor and put it in that little boat.
Et la chaloupe allait jusqu'au port.
And that little boat was going to all the way down to the harbor.
Il jetait l'ancre dans le port.
And was actually taking the anchor and anchored in the harbor.
Et dans le bateau,
and in the boat,
avec une manivelle,
and they would just
on enroulait la corde pour s'approcher du port.
They were pulling the anchor to get closer to the harbor.
Et comme l'ancre était déjà dans le port,
and the anchor itself was already in the harbor.
Le bateau allait dans la bonne direction.
So obviously the boat would be would end up in the harbor.
Et ce que Jésus a fait,
and what Jesus did,
il a pris nos traîtres, nous sommes en lui.
So we are in him.
Et il nous a pris et il est allé au-delà du voile.
And he took us with him beyond the veil.
Et ça, c'est notre assurance.
And this is our assurance.
C'est notre futur.
This is our future.
C'est-à-dire que notre vie, elle peut tanguer, elle peut bouger.
So maybe my ship, my life can be rocked.
Mais nous avons cette assurance.
But we have an assurance.
Non pas que la tempête s'arrête, peut-être.
Not that the storm will end.
Mais
maybe.
On est déjà arrivé au port.
But we already have arrived to the harbor.
On est
the
déjà
port.
Attaché.
We are already there.
Et notre vie, notre marche par la foi,
and our walk in, by faith, our lives,
c'est de s'approcher de cette direction.
Is to get closer to that direction.
Et on prend une bonne décision.
And we're just pulling and take a right decision.
Une bonne
another
façon de penser.
A way of thinking.
Et puis on n'arrivera pas jusqu'au bout.
We won't get there.
Un jour, on va partir d'ici.
Because one day we'll be gone.
Et là, direct.
And then we'll end up directly in there.
Mais ça, c'est notre espérance qui rend notre présent joyeux.
Who makes our present joyful.
Tout ce qui concerne le bonheur, l'exaltation,
all the happiness and exaltation,
c'est plutôt
and emotions.
Dans cette direction-là. Est-ce que je suis heureux ou est-ce que je suis malheureux?
It's like I'm pulling over here. Am I happy? I'm unhappy.
Et donc, c'est pour ça qu'il y a des gens qui se droguent ou qui jouent ou qui ont une addiction sexuelle.
This is why people have addictions with drugs, with sex or gambling maybe.
C'est-à-dire qu'ils veulent s'approcher là de ces émotions.
Because they want to get closer to the
qui
emotions,
leur âme. Mais dès que ça s'arrête, ils n'ont plus la joie.
But as soon as this stops, they don't have that anymore.
Nous, on peut vivre des bons moments, un anniversaire, un enfant qui a réussi son examen, on est content.
We can have, you know, like a birthday or somebody
succeeding
in something.
Choses.
We're happy. These are great things.
D'autres se droguent pour obtenir cette exaltation.
And maybe other people will take drugs to have the same kind
mais
of happiness.
Mais dans les deux
happiness.
Cas, ça va passer.
But in both ways, this will stop. This will go.
Mais il peut arriver que certains chrétiens soient malheureux dans la détresse.
And the Christian can be back here in despair.
Mais dans cette ligne-là, ils sont dans la joie.
But in that direction, in that cord, I am in joy.
Parce que Dieu a pris soin du passé.
Because he took care of my past.
Il a pris soin de mon avenir.
Took care of my future.
Et aujourd'hui, je peux l'adorer.
And today I can worship him.
Vous savez, même pensons à ce que la façon dont Dieu pense.
Think about the way God thinks.
En psaume 30, verset 5, il est dit ceci.
Psalm 30, verse 5.
Sa colère dure un instant, un moment.
His wrath is but for a moment.
Là, juste dans cette ligne. This Dieu is, peut être en colère, peut-être.
God can be, you know, has wrath, can be.
Mais sa grâce, toute la vie.
But his grace lasts forever.
Ésaïe 54, 8.
Isaiah 54, 8.
Dans un instant de colère, je t'avais dérobé ma face.
In a moment of my wrath, I turned my face away from you.
Mais avec un amour éternel, j'aurai compassion de toi.
But with my everlasting love, I will have compassion towards you.
Trouver la joie.
Find the joy.
Avec les pensées d'en haut.
With the thoughts from above.
Au-delà de les situations.
Beyond our circumstances.
Par la foi.
By faith.
Votre passé.
Your past.
Est réglé.
It's over.
Votre avenir est assuré.
The future is assured.
Il y aura des tribulations.
There will be tribulations.
On sera parfois malheureux.
Sometimes we'll be sad.
Mais on aura toujours la joie.
But we always can have joy.
Que Dieu vous bénisse.
God bless you.
Okay, I got to have you work on that, right? Because that was so good. Can you repeat to your neighbor one or two things that you just heard in that message? And yeah, go ahead, do it. Talk for a minute. What did you just hear in that message? Okay. Let's give it a shot at just saying a couple of things about the message. Human beings, and please forgive me, Pastor, if I'm out of order here. Right? Will he forgive me? Okay, so, but my heart was burning with me when I was listening to that. I just loved it. That was so good. Holy Spirit spoke to us. People suffer. One of the reasons is because we're able to reach into our past and bring it into the present. And if it's painful, and I bring that here, it hurts me. Also, people are different because than dogs, for example. Like, I think a dog, of course I don't know this, but a dog in his mind, does he reach into the past and bring pain into the present? You know, dogs don't do that because they're always so happy. But people can reach into the past and bring it into the present. They can reach into the future, and I worry about that, and bring it into the present, right? And he was saying that this mind that we have bothers us and troubles us. And we lose our joy, or we don't have joy, but we look for happiness, which is kind of a temporary, you know, pleasure that helps me with my trouble or my pain that is in the present. But he used a phrase over and over, and it was renewed mind. When Christ renews our mind. And when the mind is renewed, the pain of yesterday is not present, but the presence of God is present and his truth and promises. We're not worried like other people because the mind is renewed. It means the Holy Spirit affects our mind. So we don't worry like other people. We have concerns, but we don't worry like other people. It was like so good. And then the last thing was about the anchor. Jesus is our anchor, that he went into heaven, and there's a line. The anchor is there, and there's a line to the ship. It's kind of an upside-down picture. The anchor, instead of being at the bottom of the sea, is up in heaven, and the ship is on the sea like this and in the real world. But as we are on the ship doing this, we are being drawn to him. We are, the mind being renewed has the assurance of where we are going and how secure we are. Isn't that good? That was what I got out of the message. It was so good. Thank you, Pastor.
Good evening. It seems like the messages are getting better when you have a translator. I don't know if Ulla should come up here and I should do it in Swedish. I'll try in English. Jen told me the number of minutes I can speak. And then Pastor Schaller called me and said I can go a little longer. But then when I heard Pastor Texier, I guess that the message should not be any longer than 9 seconds, right? That's the attention span. So I hope you can handle a little bit more than that. Let's just begin with a word of prayer, and then we're going to turn to the book of 1 John. 1 John and chapter 1 and the first four verses. But let's begin with a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you this evening. We thank you for the amazing opportunity we have, Lord, to come to your house, to be with the body. We pray, Lord, that you will bless us now as we share these thoughts from 1 John. We pray that you anoint your speaker. Pray that we all will be blessed in your precious name. Amen. I know that the theme is actually from Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And a story came to me. I don't think Pastor John Boyce is here, is he? No? Okay, he didn't make it. Maybe some of you know that he lived in Sweden in the late 70s and early 80s. And he actually met the ministry there. And he, you know, he's a businessman also as well as a pastor. So one time he had some colleagues or, you know, business colleagues. And I don't know how many of you remember Michael Ewens, the crazy Englishman. He was in Lenox, you know. Okay, he was a subway driver and or metro driver, whatever you call it. And Pastor John Boyce, you know, it was one morning, you know, he had these, he had these guys with him, you know, and they were going to do some business. They were going to go somewhere. So they walk into this one subway station, and the train comes in, and Michael is driving the train. And, of course, he has a, you know, microphone, and, you know, he has access to the, you know, how the drivers say, you know, watch your step, and the next station is whatever. So, and you know this song, you know, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Now what happened was that when Michael saw Pastor John walking into the subway station, he grabs the mic and he starts singing, John Boyce in the Lord always, and again I say John Boyce. And and, you know, being the proper Englishman that he is, you know, he was like, you know, what is going on here? It can be pretty interesting sometimes. Anyhow, I don't know who said it, but somebody said the other night here that when rabbis are counseling people, they bring in a comedian. Is that right? Or somebody said something like, yeah, and but rabbis sometimes can be pretty funny too, you know. And I heard this one rabbi, you know, there was this one man. He was asking him. He said, "Why is it that every time I'm asking you a question, you're answering me with a question?" And the rabbi replied, "Why shouldn't I?" And then I have another one for you, and that is, you know, a rabbi wakes up in the middle of the night. There's some noise in the house, and he said, "Who's there?" "A burglar." And he said, "What are you looking for?" He says, "Money." "Oh, wait, I'll get up and help you." You know. So, okay, I just wanted to make sure that you're not fish, you know, because you do laugh, so that's good. All right, having said that, I'd like to expand a little bit on the book of 1 John. Now, in the theological world, there is kind of a debate going on, you know, about the purpose of the book. You know, why is it written? You know, there is one camp, they say, well, it's about our relationship, meaning that this is like a number of tests. You know, we read this book to see whether we really have a relationship with God. Then there is another group, and I would say this is probably the minority group, they're saying that, well, it's not about a relationship, it's about whether we have fellowship or not. So there is a difference between having a relationship and having fellowship. And how do we know what the book is all about? Well, usually a book has a purpose statement. And where do we normally find a purpose statement? In the beginning. Right, so I'd like for you to turn with me to 1 John and chapter 1, and we're going to read the first four verses there. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. And that's the title of my message here, that your joy may be full. So here we see the purpose statement. He's not writing to them to tell them whether or not they have a relationship with God. He's writing to them to tell them, or to show them, that there is a way that you can have fellowship. And there is a difference, and we have heard this throughout this week, between joy and happiness. Happiness is something that the world is going after. You know, it's just something that it's based on circumstances. It's based on the details of this life. It's conditional, and it's rooted oftentimes in our emotions. You know, we feel something, we want something, and this is how we have happiness. And that changes very quickly. And sometimes we are tested, aren't we? You know, that, you know, we do well, we do fine, and then the circumstances are changing. And we are also changing, because we only have happiness. But joy is different, because joy is something that is based on a relationship that never changes. And this is what the book of 1 John is all about. We have a relationship that can never change. And this is rooted in God's promises and also in His character and nature. So, and it's interesting here that in verse 3, he says that he's talking about the things that he has seen, or they have seen and heard and touched and experienced. And of course, John talks about his time with the Lord Jesus Christ, because in John 1:14, we read that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So in other words, he's talking about a relationship that they had with the Lord Jesus Christ, the incarnated God. And he's saying here that we write these things to you, that this is our experience, this is what we have seen, this is what we have heard, this is what we have touched. I'm writing these, or we write these things to you, that you may have fellowship. And it's interesting, because here, this is what we call the subjunctive mood. And the subjunctive mood means it's conditional. There's a condition here. And it means that it may or may not happen. So what is he talking about here? Is he talking about the relationship, that it may happen or may not happen? Or is he talking about the fellowship? And that your joy may be full. If I don't know if my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is secure, can I have joy? I don't think so. So it's not about relationship. So what are some of the reasons why our joy can be full? And the first one I was thinking about is our perfect position. Our perfect position. In the book of 1 John, our position is never discussed. If you read the writings of Paul, you'll find that Paul uses the preposition en, which means in, about 200 times. And he's speaking about our position in Christ. 200 times he uses that. If we would summarize Paul's theology, we could do it actually in two words. In Christ. In Christ. In Christ. So that is like a subtle issue. John writes later, and he's not really speaking about our position in Christ. He is more talking about how we can experience this thing that we already have. So he's using a different word. He doesn't use the preposition in, but he actually uses the Greek word meno, which means, you know, to have a relationship with somebody here. And this is what he's discussing. And I think that, you know, having understanding positional truth is just something that we have learned so well in this ministry. You know, it's a distinguishing feature of our ministry, positional truth. And that is what he's saying here. If you don't understand positional truth, if you don't understand that your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is not being questioned here, then you cannot have joy. You cannot have that fullness of joy that he wants them to have. So that's the first thing, perfect position. The second thing is the promise of his presence. You know, God lives in us. Matthew 28, verses 19 to 20, what we call the Great Commission. What is he saying? I will be with you all the days until the end. And God is never far from anyone. You know, sometimes you talk to people on the streets and they think God is so far. But in Acts 17, 27, it says that he's never far from anyone. And for us as believers, in Colossians 1, 27, it says that Christ in us, the hope of glory. He is in us. And in Ephesians 1, 13, we are sealed with the Spirit. Also in Ephesians 30. In the verse before there, it talks about being that we can grieve the Spirit. And it's not a good thing to grieve the Spirit, but it's a good thing in one sense, because we know that if the Spirit could not be grieved, meaning that he would leave us the moment we sin or do something bad, he would not be grieved. He said, bye, I'll be back, you know, when you're okay. But he's grieved because he's inside of us and we are sealed by the Spirit. He's not going anywhere. You know, we have been joined together with the Spirit of God in 1 Corinthians 6, 17. So, and in Hebrews 13, 5, it says he will never, nor never, ever leave us or forsake us. So we have the promise of his presence. And then finally, we have a perfect position. We have the promise of his presence, but we also have the possibility of prayer and praise. The possibility of prayer and praise. And, you know, prayer is just something that is such an untapped resource. You know, I think we have just scratched the surface, you know, what we can accomplish through prayer. And I'm learning all the time about this issue. And, you know, people have all kinds of fancy definitions for prayer. You know, it's talking to our Heavenly Father, it's worshiping, it's giving thanks and all that. But none of those things are really prayer. Prayer is very, very simple. It's asking God for something. That's prayer. And so that's the definition of it. And the purpose of it is to get to know him. And when we get to know him, the result is joy. If you don't believe me, look at your kids around Christmas time. When they get something, they get happy, right? And it's the same thing with us. You know, when we get something, we need to be patient. You know, God is doing all kinds of things in our lives, and he doesn't answer immediately. He doesn't always answer the way we want to, etc., etc. But he does answer our prayers. He does. And the result is really joy. And Paul was in Philippians, which is the theme verse of this conference, he talked about rejoicing. And Pastor Justin was talking last night about many of the details, you know, the background, what he did and so on. But it's very interesting, because if we go back a little further, we'll see a few things. And that is that he wrote this thing and he was in a house arrest. But before that, he was actually in Jerusalem. And probably you remember, you know, the Lord told him, go to the Gentiles. He said it, go to the Gentiles. I believe he said it four times in the book of Acts. Go to the Gentiles. And Twice in the book of Acts, he was warned by the Holy Spirit not to go to Jerusalem, go back. And for those of you who have been around for a while, if you remember, Pastor Stevens believed that Paul was actually sentimental with his own people, meaning that he believed that if he could go back now with the experience, you know, that all the Gentiles out there had believed, if he would go back with that message to Jerusalem, the Jews would be converted. The nation would turn to God. But the Holy Spirit told him, no, don't go. And it's very interesting because that view is very unusual. You know, very few people. I wrote a paper on it one time, and I had to look, I don't know how many commentaries I had to go through before I found somebody who actually believed that. But Ray Steadman, I don't know if you know Ray Steadman, Peninsula Bible Church in California, who wrote the book Body Life, actually, he believed that. So there were a few out there. But with that background, it's very interesting to see what happened, that Paul would have been killed in Jerusalem if it wasn't for the Roman soldiers. But he was smart. You know, he said, I don't want to be judged by the Jews. He said, I want to be judged by the Romans. He thought he had a better chance there. So because the Jews were so upset with him, they were not ready to receive him. They were angry with him, actually, because they believed he taught things that were against the law and against Moses. So what happened was that he ended up in Rome, and there he was. And it's amazing, you know, how he realized that he was there because of his disobedience. But at the same time, he understood that God is so much greater. And I love what it says in Philippians 3. Let's turn there just very quickly. Philippians 3:13, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to these things which are ahead. And I believe he's referring to that thing actually there. He's referring to his time of disobedience that he actually went against the will of God. He wanted him to go to the Gentiles, but he actually went back to Jerusalem and he thought that he was going to convert the nation. But instead, he was almost killed and he was brought to Rome, and there he is. But what happened was that God opened doors for him that he never thought was possible. He wanted to go to Spain, which was probably considered to be the end of the world in that time, and he wanted to reach there with the gospel, and that was his goal, but he also wanted to convert his own people, but he wasn't time for that. So he went back, and it was a disaster, and now he was in Rome, confined in this house arrest or in this place, but God said to him, he realized rather, that, wow, you know, God has not abandoned me. And he has opened some doors, because remember how he was even able to minister to Caesar's household. So he reached a group that he probably wouldn't have reached otherwise. So this is how God works in our lives. So this is why he was so joyful, is that in spite of my disobedience, in spite of my mistake, in spite of my failure, I am now in a place where God is using me even to a greater degree than before. And that's the possibility of prayer and praise. So we have every reason to rejoice. We have him. If we believe in the Son, we have the Father. If we believe in the Father that he has sent his Son, we have both. We know that God is in control. In Psalm 103, verse 19, God has established his throne in heaven and he rules over all things. That is very comforting. And we also know that he works all things together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose in Romans 8:28. We know that all things are for our sake in 2 Corinthians 4:15. So just in closing here, we began in 1 John, first chapter. Let's turn to the same book, but the last chapter, chapter 5, and verse 13. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. So you see, we can know that we have eternal life. You know, the purpose statement we read, and what was that? It was that this book is not written so that we can test ourselves whether we have a relationship or not. Because it says that if we sin or if we don't keep the commandments, you know, we don't know him. So that does that mean that if we do not keep the commandments perfectly, if we sin a little bit or a lot or whatever, you know, does that mean that we don't have a relationship? No, the relationship is not being questioned here. What is being spoken of here is whether or not we have fellowship. And that fellowship, the prerequisite for that fellowship is our relationship. When we know that we have a perfect position, we can know, we can have fellowship based on that. If we know that we have the promise of his presence, that he will not leave us ever, and we have the possibility of prayer and praise, meaning that we can have this type of fellowship, even in those difficult circumstances that Paul were in. He realized that, wow, this is all from God. And, you know, sometimes we talk about having objective assurance and subjective assurance. What is the difference? Objective assurance is that God has promised eternal life, because if you read here, these things I have written to you. What are these things? He's referring to the previous verses, meaning verses 1 to 12. And what are those verses? What are they all about? They talk about the Father's testimony that he has sent the Son into this world. And if you believe that testimony, you have eternal life. You can know that right now. It's not a test of whether you have a relationship with him. God is always your Father if you have believed. It's not a test whether you are saved or if you have been saved or if you are going to lose, if you have lost your salvation. It's nothing to do with that. It has only to do with whether we are in fellowship with him. So, but sometimes people have this subjective assurance, meaning that, you know, I need to know, I need to feel and understand that, you know, my life has changed to a certain degree before I can actually claim that I am a believer. But he says here that I write these things to you so that you may know. Can I know if I don't know if my relationship is secure? Probably not. Today I went down to the Inner Harbor with the group. And we had a wonderful time soul winning. And it was very hot. And after a while, I just decided to go inside. And I sat down on a bench and I made a phone call. And then Renee from Montreal showed up. And I said, hi. And she goes up to me and says, have you witnessed this guy? There was a guy sitting right next to me. I said, no. Okay, let's do it. So we started to talk to this man. And he was very humble. He was very open. And you know, he was a churchgoer and all that, you know. But it was very obvious that he didn't understand. And I brought out my Bible and I read this verse to him. And I said, that you may know. And it was very obvious that he knew the Lord. But the problem was that nobody had ever told him. He said, now when you present it this way, I really understand that I have eternal life. And this is so great, you know, that you have so many people out there. They don't know. So how, also here said that you may know. It's also in the subjunctive mood, meaning that you may know or you may not know. And that, how do I know? Well, I need to understand the purpose of the book. Was it written so that we should test our relationship, whether we are saved or not? Or was it written so that we can experience fellowship based on the understanding that we have a relationship that can never be shaken or changed. That is the difference. And I just love these verses. I love this book. But if you read it with the wrong glasses, so to speak, you're going to end up being condemned, you know, because, I mean, there are so many things in there, you know, like that are difficult to understand. So we really need to understand this thing. So do we have, in closing, do we have happiness? Do we pursue happiness? The world pursues happiness all the time, you know. I want this, I want to do this and all that. But it's just conditional. When the conditions are changing, we have nothing. But our joy is not based on conditional things. It's based on unconditional things. It's based on the fact that Christ is the Son of God, that God became a man in Jesus Christ. The apostles met him, saw him, walked with him, heard him, touched him, spoke to him, discussed with him. I mean, they knew it, and they said, we know that this is real, and we know that all we need to do is actually to believe on him in order to have eternal life. And if we know that, and if we understand that, we have a foundation for having fellowship with not only him and the Father, but also with one another. And that was stated in the very beginning of 1 John. And that's how we understand that this book is not a test of relationship, whether we have a relationship, but it's just an opportunity to learn how to have fellowship with him based on that relationship. Amen?
All right. Are you ready? Thank you, Pastor Toll. Great word. Our position. Good one. Praise the Lord. Let's just say to Jesus, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, bless these few minutes, Lord. You could heal somebody, speak to a heart, save a soul of courage, restore us, Lord, edify. We have been edified. Wow. Praise God. In your name, amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Okay, are you ready? You want to stay standing? See, you call. Maybe it'd be good. Maybe that's a good idea. I don't know. Turn to Habakkuk chapter 3, please. Habakkuk. This morning, we learned about skinny, tight jeans, and that was one of the funniest things I've ever heard. That was so, wasn't that good? That was so fresh, and never heard anybody talk like that, you know, publicly, shamelessly. It was so good. I love what Pastor Toll said about our position and that being at the very foundation of our lives. Sometimes we think the spiritual life is so far away, and actually, tragically, some people feel that it's irrelevant. I'm not spiritual. I got to go make money to feed my family. And they don't understand the spiritual life. Just put your hand on your face like this and push hard. God is closer to you than that. Okay? He is here and he is dwelling in you. And very relevant in all of our thinking and our hearts. He doesn't ask much from us, just trusting him. That's all. Being honest, transparent, and trusting him. It's that simple. Jesus is very rich toward us. And yes, we are part animal and part angel. Remember when he said, in heaven, the angels do not marry? Remember that? And so it is with us when we go there. Marriage is temporary, only in this life. And John Piper says it is to train us to get out of our small-mindedness and teach us love. We spoke about it last night. When I was a child, I thought like a child. I had temper tantrums as a child. I didn't do my homework as a child. I was angry with mom or dad, sister and brother. When Sunday school class was asked, the teacher said, thou shalt not kill. No, wait a minute, how did it go? Honor your mother and father. And how did it, help me. The teacher said, honor your mother and father. And one child said, what does it say about sister and brother? And the other child said, thou shalt not kill. I kind of feel that when God came here and the kingdom of God was here and it was so close to the disciples, and Jesus is showing them, manifesting to them the kingdom, that it must be very close to us. It must be very relevant. What could be more relevant in a situation where you have a storm on a lake than when you could walk on the water? Or eat free lunch. Sounds very practical and relevant to the circumstances. Healing a person. I love that story. It's very unique. This woman had her son. She was a widow, and her son died, and they're coming out of the village, and Jesus is walking with the disciples, and he sees the woman. Remember, no social security. A woman being in a second class in that society without a husband, and now her only son is dead. And it says Jesus had compassion. And he came to the buyer and said, son, rise. And he did. Wow. I love the story when the little girl was dead in the room and Jesus, the man came to Jesus and said, my daughter is dead or dying. And when he got there, she was dead. And he went in and he put people out of the room. I love that story. Put people out of the room. It's kind of, not everybody can see the kingdom. Not everybody has the privilege of understanding the kingdom. Not everybody is a first-hand witness of the kingdom. And he puts us out of the room. And we are the ones that really need to see it. But I feel that we have been invited into the room. Peter and James and John and the parents and Jesus with the dead 9-year-old girl, you know, daughter, rise. You know, Jesus is here with these, and he's kind of like really wanting them to know and understand. And the messages that we heard tonight, happiness and we run to the happiness or look for the happiness. And we find it, and then we're afraid we're going to lose it. We get happy, and it's a great thing to be happy. I take all I can get. I love it. It's awesome, fantastic. But look at this verse in Habakkuk 3, verse 17. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail. This is a farm that has actually become a disaster, a business that does not work, a marriage that is broken, children that are troubled, a bank account that is empty, a physical body that's filled with cancer, a heart empty and lonely. This is a description of what will happen in Israel when the Babylonians come and destroy the country. And the prophet says, though this happens, and the field shall yield no meat, and the flocks shall be cut off from the field or fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. So there it is. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Pastor Toll just preached about why we have this, because of our guaranteed rock solid promises, presence of God with us. We're not saying that there are not tears, but we are saying there is a comforter. We're not saying we don't have some broken heart, but we have healing. It says here in verse 18, I'll rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. I want to be in the room, Jesus. You're going to heal the little girl. If you're going to heal the little girl, could you invite me into that room? I have faith. The Lord said, what do you think? You want to believe me? Do you want to believe me? I say, yes, Lord. I rather believe you than live in unbelief. And so how will I have faith? It says faith really grows in us. It comes by hearing. Hearing the book. Hearing each other. Hearing the testimonies from Europe and Africa and India. Seeing the lives of people that have believe God. I just went through the names of Jesus a little bit. He is the Advocate, the Almighty, the Alpha and Omega, the Amen, the Arm of the Lord, the Author and Finisher of our faith, the Beloved Son, the Branch, the Bread of Life, the Chief Shepherd, the Christ of God, the Cornerstone, the Counselor, the Creator, the Dayspring, the Deliverer, the Door, the Elect of God, the Everlasting Father, Faithful Witness, First and Last, First Begotten, Forerunner, God. It seems like God is saying to us who He is in a troubled world when the fig tree doesn't blossom, and the sheep are sick, and the whole thing is falling apart. You know, I read a story about Hallmark cards. I think it was 1910. This man had a vision to produce cards. And he did. He had a little factory, and the business was going along. And then the whole place burned down. He was a Christian, and he believed in his idea. And so he went at it again. And I think it happened a second time. That place burned down. He lost everything and he had to start over again. But Hallmark cards. You know, sometimes when everything is wrong and bad, it's when God wants to show us His name, His nature. He's the door, the shepherd, the cornerstone, God, the everlasting Father. But I feel that we kind of get real controlling about our lives, and when something is wrong, it upsets us too much. You know, my life is like the perfect, like Pastor Mati said, counting my tea bags before I go to dinner, go to bed at night, and my chocolate bars in the drawer, and they, you know, my window is 20 centimeters open, and my world is very much controlled by me. And when the bad thing happens, my world falls apart because I haven't invested in the deeper things, in the things that cannot be moved. I haven't invested as a hearer in the names of God and believe that He is the way and the truth and the life. The advocate, the one that prays for us and cares for us. When we find Him in, like we've said in our church here, that my sisters are here tonight, and brothers-in-law, and that's a beautiful thing for me to have them here in town with my mom in the Towson. And, you know, on the top of the refrigerator, I don't really remember the, but when you're little, you can't really reach up there, and the real goodies are up there. You know, the molasses cookies are up there, or, you know, the candies, and when you're little, you can't get there, but you know they are there. And in the same way, in life, you have to know that it is there. That God has put something there out of your reach, but it is yours. And it's valuable, and He wants you to understand it and believe it. And He brings it nigh, near. He brings it home. It's a quiet presence and confidence. It's a freedom. It's a beautiful. I got a picture of a goat here on the iPad. How do I get it up there, Pastor Steve? Well, they're going to do it. This is a mountain goat. And I don't know if you can see it there. But these animals, I mean, YouTube them. I mean, look at the videos of these mountain goats and what they can do with their feet. And that's what this verse is saying. Read it. It says, "The Lord God is my strength, and He will make my feet like hinds' feet." I suppose those are deer feet, but to dramatize it even more, goat feet. Mountain goat feet, navigating the cliffs, but I'm at home up there. I'm at home up there. Trouble is okay. I've got God. I'm at home. You don't say, "I got trouble, so there's something wrong with me." No, there's a time and season for everything. And sorrow is part of life. There's a time to weep and a time to laugh. There's a time to love and a time to hate. A time to embrace and refrain from embracing. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. You know. But the root of it, the depth of it is this. God is my strength. And He will make my feet like hinds' feet. He will make me to walk upon my high places. He will help me grow up. He will help me face the music. Remember when you were in trouble in school and you had to go to the principal's office and somebody whispered to you, "You got to face the music"? How about when your test scores were posted publicly just to embarrass you in front of the whole school? and you had to go down the aisle and look at the test scores and face the music. When you had to face shame, is that a bad thing? Or maybe that works humility? And maybe that gives me the hunger to find where there is no shame, but truth that is able to build us up on the inner man? Are we kind of babying ourselves and saying, you know, this wasn't fair, and you don't understand me, and my feelings have been hurt and offended and so on? No. We are learning God. Huge word. Like, imagination is important. Imagination is important in our faith. God, it's so big and awesome we could be speechless all night worshiping God and feeling so privileged that we would even be able to say his name. God, who cares? My troubled life, yeah, it hurts. Yeah, it maybe is a disappointment. Yeah, I understand that. But that's what he's saying here. There is a reality that is bigger than us. There is a resurrection bigger than the grave. There is a healer that's bigger than our cancer and our problem. There is a oneness. Jesus said, you people are one with me as my Father and I are one. Have you felt it? All week we come here. This is a highlight for our year. When we go away in a week or two or whatever it is and go back to our homes, we will remember each other. Remember the face, remember the heart, remember the testimony, remember the name, remember the purpose, remember the stories, remember the salvations, remember the presence. And we'll start praying prayers for each other. Though we don't see each other for another year, but we are reaching there. And then when you touch it, you push it back further. And you go, oh, I got a problem now. You know? Oh. But that's okay. I know it's there. I know it's mine. I know this is where I'm living. I know that that's what this is about. I don't have it all figured out, but I know that God is the God that cares for you and I more than we could ever imagine. God is a God that came here and humbled himself to save us. God is a God that hung on the cross to take our sins away. God is a God that rose from the dead and met Peter and said, do you love me? I love that. He's a good pastor. Jesus goes and finds Peter, and he brings him and draws him, lays his hand on him. And we can be sure that these men and women of God in their lives doubted, questioned, feared, worried, cried, and suffered. But as they did, as Pastor Toll said, it was fresh in their ears. It says that in the Greek. What our ears have heard, our ears are still ringing, according to Kenneth Wiest. Our eyes are still seeing what we saw in Jesus Christ. We still see him. And our hands are handling him. Even now, we have handled him, but we remember him. And these things are written that we might know we have fellowship with God and that our joy may be full. And nobody can take the joy away if it is spiritual joy. And nobody can destroy our life because our life is rooted in a living God. And that's how it goes. Our feet are like him. He will make me to walk upon my high places. He will make us walk on high places. You will make it. You'll do very well. You will make it. You will make it. Because he is the author and finisher of our faith. Amen. Yes, Lord. Anyone listening anywhere tonight to what we are saying here, and in your heart you are also wanting more of what God has given you in His Son. You'd like it in practice, in your life, relevant, pressing upon you, experiencing it. Don't back off. Don't give up. Don't withdraw. Don't quit. Don't live in unbelief. Where will we go? What do we have? The fig tree will not blossom. Some days it will not. It'll be over. But with Him, it's never over. Say to Jesus in your heart, I believe and trust in You. And say it to Him. He will answer you. And thank You for this week, God, and teaching and helping and leading us, Lord, in the ministry. In Christ's name, amen.